Luke chapter 11, verse 1 through 4. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We took a detour last Sunday and looked at a passage of Scripture from John. The Lord has brought us back to our movement through the book of Luke, which I say is not a chapter-by-chapter study or a verse-by-verse study, but just a movement through the book of various passages of Scripture, pretty much moving from the front to the back. And we come to this very familiar passage of Scripture where the disciples are watching Jesus pray. And as he ceases his prayer, they say, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Did you ever think about what a curious thing it was for one of the disciples to watch Jesus pray? Did you ever think about that? We don't know how much they knew about prayer as far as the New Testament is concerned, being Jews and pretty much under the law and the Old Testament. We don't know how much they knew about bowing their head and praying, if much at all. And here's their Lord, and here's their Master, here's Jesus Christ, which is beginning to be revealed to them as God in the flesh, John 1. And he's praying. And they watched him. It had to be a curious thing to them. It may have been just as blunt as he was praying all the time and they didn't really know what was going on or didn't really know how to pray. So they may have just been sitting there with both eyes wide open just watching him. Just watching him pray. Watching him pray. Can you imagine yourself watching Jesus pray? The Son of God. Your Lord, your Master. Your Savior, this miracle worker, this one who is beginning to reveal to man that he was God in the flesh, can you imagine watching him pray? Just watching Jesus pray. I think it was a profound thing. It was a very moving thing. And on this occasion, when he ceased praying, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. It's almost like he's praying. Jesus is praying. Jesus ceases his prayer. And then he says, Lord, teach us to pray. I find it interesting that he makes the request not for himself, He doesn't say, teach me to pray. But he makes this request of the Lord, teach us. Teach us to pray. Teach all of your disciples here how to pray. And in fact, the request is not teach us how to pray. You'll notice the request is teach us to pray. What is the significance of that? Is it omission? Are we to understand that they wanted the Lord to teach them how to pray, and we're just to read that into it? Or is it really a request, Lord, teach us to pray? And I wonder, which one of those two choices don't you need tonight? Which one of those two choices don't I need tonight? I need, you need, we need God. We need the Lord to teach us how to pray. Because no matter how much we know and how much we've learned and how much we've studied and how much we've heard preached and how much we've read from scriptures, we still know so little about prayer. Teach us how to pray. And doesn't the lack of praying, doesn't the shortfall in our praying cause us to want to say, Lord, teach us to pray? Yeah, we need to know how to pray, but Lord, you need to teach us to pray because we're very negligent on average regarding prayer. We're busy, we're rushed in and out and back and forth. Before we know it, the day's over. Before we know it, we're fast asleep. Before we know it, we're waking up to a new day, and we forgot to pray. So which is more important, the Lord teaching us how to pray or the Lord teaching us to pray? I think we need both. I think we need both. Teach us to pray. And the Lord teaches them. And the Lord teaches us to pray. This is not the Lord's Prayer. If you want to find a genuine item that you can call the Lord's Prayer, you're going to need to go to John 17. That's where the Lord really prays. This is better or best called a model prayer. The Lord is teaching them how to pray. The Lord is teaching them to pray. But the Lord is not teaching them to repeat this prayer. Prayer is a personal thing. Prayer is to be vocalized in our own words. Prayer is supposed to be our opening our heart, our sharing our heart with the Lord. Not repeating some vain repetition. The scribes and the Pharisees, particularly the Pharisees, were known for their vain repetitions. And vain repetitions accomplished nothing. And God is not impressed with our vain repetitions. But we want to notice four things the Lord teaches them in regards to the request, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. First of all, he teaches us to pray divinely. He teaches us to pray divinely. With all that we know about praying, and though many times we would be self-righteous enough to say, I don't need any instruction on praying. I've been doing this for years. I got this down. Still, we forget what the basic formula of praying is. What's the basic formula for praying? We pray to God. in the name of Jesus Christ, through the help and the aid of the Holy Spirit. That's the basic formula for prayer, and we forget that constantly. Just listen to your prayers, and you'll find yourself slipping on those things. But always remember, we pray to God in the name of Jesus Christ through the aid and the help of the Holy Spirit. You find the Trinity there, folks. You find the Trinity there. And when we talk about His teaching us to pray divinely, I'm talking about the fact that He teaches us to pray to God. Yes, we're praying to God. We're praying to our Creator. We're praying to our Heavenly Father. We're praying to the One who has given us life. He says, when you pray, pray, Our Father which art in heaven. That's talking about God. Don't forget, when you bow your head to pray, who you're talking to. You're talking to God. You're not talking to the big guy. You're not talking to the man upstairs. You're talking to God. Pray divinely. Our Father which art in heaven. Ecclesiastes 5. Ecclesiastes 5. Verse number 2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. Don't be rash with your mouth, and don't let your heart be hasty to utter anything before God. Well, why is that? For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Don't forget, when you pray, you're praying to God. You're praying to your Heavenly Father. You're praying to the Creator of all things, the Sovereign. You're praying to God in the name of Jesus Christ, through the aid and the help of the Holy Spirit. So don't ever forget that you're calling upon Almighty God. Then he says there in verse number 2, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. The word hallowed or hallowed means to make holy, to purify, to consecrate, to venerate, to sanctify. So pray divinely. Remember, you're praying to your Father which art in heaven. You're asking His name to be holy, to be pure, to be consecrated, venerated, sanctified. You're praying that His name would be hallowed. Hallowed in your heart, hallowed in your mind, hallowed in your life, hallowed in the church, hallowed in your family. Let your name be hallowed. Let it be holy. Let it be pure, consecrated, venerated, sanctified. Then he prays, or he teaches us to pray reverently. Amen. Second part of verse number 2. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. I think it's Matthew's rendering, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Pray reverently. Thy kingdom come. That's praying, and that's a desire that His rule, His realm, His kingdom would come. That's showing reverence. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. thy kingdom. You're God. You're the king of the universe. Thy kingdom, thy rule, thy realm, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Word will there means choice, purpose, or desire. So thy rule, thy realm, thy kingdom come, thy choice, thy purpose, thy desire be done. That's showing reverence, respect to God as we pray. And he prays that his kingdom would come and his will would be done as in heaven, so in earth. And it doesn't have to. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that God doesn't get the respect here that he gets up there. God doesn't get the reverence here that he gets there. At its best, God has never gotten on earth what he deserves and what he gets up there. So we pray divinely, we pray reverently, we pray that his kingdom would come, his will would be done as it is in heaven, so it would be here. And before we get all hung up on the fact that it doesn't get done here, let us make sure we're taking time to look at our own lives and accept the fact it doesn't get done here. It doesn't get done here. It doesn't get done at home. So before we get upset about the world's conditions, let us pray reverently that his kingdom would come and his will would be done here, within our hearts, within our church, within our homes. And oh, what a shakeup it's going to cause if you ever get serious by saying, God, let it be done here like it is up there. We don't know what that's like. Third of all, verse 3, first part of verse 4. Is he's teaching us to pray practically. Practically. Matthew 4, verse 4. Just jump over here for a sec. I'm ahead of myself there. Let's hold your finger there. We'll get back to it in a minute. Pray practically in our text. He says in verse 3, give us day by day our daily bread. Or I think it's Matthew rendering, give us our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. That's practical praying. The word bread is speaking about our meat, our food, our nourishment, our necessities. And we should pray divinely, we should pray reverently, but big chunk of prayer is praying practically. He tells us, he commands us to bring our needs, our petitions, to ask him practically what we stand in need of. Matthew 6. We'll get to 4 in a minute. Matthew 6, verse 11, where I quoted, give us this day, or give us today, our daily bread. Our daily meat, our daily necessities. And forgive us our sins. That's practical, isn't it? We need that every day. There's never a day goes by, our best day, doesn't eliminate us from praying for forgiveness. Forgive us our sins. Back in our text, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. I find in Luke's rendering, Luke's recall and inspiration, it seems to be choppier. It doesn't seem to have the flow, the smoothness to it that you find in Matthew's rendering. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. It just doesn't flow like you find in Matthew. But the message is the same. Forgive us our sins, for we forgive those as we forgive those that sin against us. The book of Hosea. I love this passage of scripture from Hosea. I just love what it says. It just hits me in a unique way. Hosea chapter 14. Verse 1. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. I love this second verse. Listen to what the Word of God says. Take with you words. Take with you words. Talking about Israel's backslidden condition. Talking about Israel's practical needs. And the inspired writer says, take with you words. Think about that. You're going to approach God, what are you going to take? Take with you some words. Take with you some words. And turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Ask him to take away your iniquity, my iniquity, our iniquity. Ask him to receive us graciously. Then we will render unto him praise and honor and thanksgiving. But praying practically means taking some words. Taking some words. And sometimes not a few. Depending on our spiritual condition, the more words are going to be needed. When was the last time you ever felt the weight of your sin, your failures, your shortcomings? You ever felt your need for revival and just felt, I need to go talk with God. And I need to take a lot of words. I got a lot of things I got to say. A lot of things I need to get off my chest. A lot of things I need to ask for forgiveness. Praying practically means going to God with some words. Take some words and go talk to God. Then the fourth part of the Lord's teaching them and teaching us to pray. Pray divinely, pray reverently, pray practically. And then last of all, pray spiritually. Pray spiritually. Second half of verse number 4 of our text. He says, pray, lead us not into temptation. Testings, trials, afflictions. I think included in that is the temptation to sin. And all the temptations that we face. This is the spiritual part of our prayer. Lord, lead us not into temptation. Keep us away from there. Deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. deliver us from evil. Matthew 26, 41. Matthew 26, 41. The scene is Gethsemane. And the scene is the Lord praying again. And the disciples not holding up their end of the bargain to pray with him. And he asked them in the last part of verse number 40, what? I think that's the tone. What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? I've been over here praying. You couldn't pray with me for an hour? Verse 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. This is a spiritual thought. Lead us not into temptation. Jesus prayed and Jesus taught them to pray, not to enter into temptation, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That describes every single person in the room tonight. The spirit is willing. Most of the time we have the want to, but the flesh is weak. We don't have the follow through. We don't have the carry through. But Jesus prayed or taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation. Jesus taught them to ask God when you pray to deliver us from evil. And that's what Jesus prayed accordingly in John 17. John 17 Verse 15, the 17th chapter of John is the Lord's Prayer, the Lord praying. Verse 15. Here, Jesus, we're overhearing, we're listening to his prayer that he prays to God in John 17. He's speaking to God and he says, I pray not. Can you hear him? I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Right from the mouth of Jesus Christ. He cried out unto God, not that he should take them out of the world, because they had a work to do. That work wasn't even begun until after he was gone back up to heaven. They had a work to do, so he didn't pray that God would take them out of the world. But he did pray that the Lord should keep them, should keep us from evil. As he teaches them to pray there in Luke 11. When you pray, pray divinely. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Pray reverently. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. As in heaven, so in earth. Pray practically. Give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone indebted to us. Pray spiritually. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. And you find the same prayer that you find here in Luke 11. You find it in Matthew chapter 6. Pretty close to the same prayer. But in Matthew 6, you find a phrase added in verse 13, second part of the verse. Pray divinely, pray reverently, pray practically, pray spiritually. And then Matthew 6:13 has this: for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All the things you find here in Luke 11, verse 1 through 3, 4, you find in Matthew's rendering, only he adds that last statement. And I can, in my mind, and I can, in my heart, remembering some of the vocals of the Lord's Prayer. And no words of any song have ever moved me as much as hearing somebody with great vocal abilities go through the song of the Lord's Prayer. They sing, Our Father which art in heaven, all that melodious versing. And they build to that climax. And if you ever heard it done right, I mean, if you're alive, it had to have done something to you, or it should do something to you. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Oh, to hear somebody who has a strong voice be able to sing the Lord's Prayer and come to that climax. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If it doesn't move you, nothing will. For thine is the kingdom. You find a little secret here, if you will, if you pay attention. I think the secret you're going to find is that in all of our prayers, there's an element of worship. There ought to be an element of worship. Bring your prayers to a close with the force of that. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Maybe you've heard it. And as far as I know, you know, we don't repeat the Lord's Prayer as far as repeating it in the place of praying ourselves. As far as I know, and as far as I can tell from Scripture, there is nothing wrong with singing the words to the Lord's Prayer. It's just a singing of Scripture. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's stand, have a verse of song to close.